Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Our good friend John Fox is here. John is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. In fact, we're celebrating his 15th anniversary. I think, unless we've already done it, I'm not sure, but I don't think we have. John Fox has been with us over 15 years now. He's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, and I'm looking forward to another. He's, by the way, a tax attorney by training and by profession, and he taught tax and accounting at Mount Holyoke College for many years. And he and I have had many spirited debates on the show, and we still love each other. He's our good friend, John Fox. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure. And the course I taught at Mount Holyoke, which I really created a subject because as a practicing tax lawyer, I realized that there was really no education about tax policy in our colleges and universities. So the public was, you know, going into the voting age without any experience in thinking about what tax policy. So I created a liberal arts study of the social and economic outcomes of our tax policies for liberal arts students, you know, people across the curriculum. And it has been great fun. And my book is pretty much addressed to the public.
That's right. Yep, absolutely.
About these issues.
If Americans really understood the income tax. John, one of the things I know that's on your mind today, because you sent me an email that said you were interested in this wage issue, this situation, the minimum wage issue, and the battles over the wages for fast food. What do you think about all that?
Well, I thought it was inevitable that this is happening. We have not only this great recession, which has caused enormous pain for a whole millions of Americans who are out of jobs or barely getting back into the workforce. But this growing gap between those who are really doing well and the middle class, let alone lower income people. And, you know, I thought about, somebody made a comment that Henry Ford back in 1914 paid $5 a day to his employees in the Model T
and shortened the workday.
This was three times what factory workers were paid, and he did it to create consumers of his automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a brilliant strategy, and so I begin from the position that I think it's a fair argument and an economic argument that we want Americans to be consumers. We want them to be able to consume and not live on the margins of poverty or in poverty. So we need.
So you're in favor of you'd be in favor of raising the minimum wage.
Well, I'd be in favor, but I also think that it's in the interest of most employers to recognize that if their employees are living just on the margins, they're going to have a weaker workforce.
But John, if I've got a low wage job, a service job like a fast food restaurant. Let's say I'm a small business owner. I have my own group of small business. I have four or five of these fast food restaurants, and they're Jim's Hamburgers. Let's call them that.
Yeah.
So here's my question: where's the money going to come from?
Well, no, I think there is a problem with first of all, I'm not in favor of increasing the minimum wage overnight to some huge dollar figure. The minimum wage today is $7.25.
Yeah.
That's about 30% lower than it was if cost of living adjustments were made some 20 or 30 years ago. So it's way below what it used to be.
But John, do you agree that minimum wage is an entry-level job? It's not. It was never meant to be a career wage for people to feed a family on?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think when we talk about
it like it's a living wage, isn't that really a canard? Isn't that really a false argument?
Well, I think one of the things that makes it so complex rather than simple is that you have young people for whom a minimum wage is simply extra money for them while they're going to school or different things. Or the amount that's being paid to a 30, 40, 50-year-old who's got a family and has to support. So there are really two groups, the younger people.
And the fact that that older person has to work at McDonald's instead of having a better job is part of the economic problems that we have, which shouldn't be a burden, shouldn't be an argument in favor of minimum wage increase.
Well, the problem is, the chicken and the egg, and I'm very sensitive to small businesses that are barely making it. So if you talk about a minimum wage, you could talk about a minimum wage for businesses over a certain number of employees, like Obamacare, for example. The Affordable Care Act applies only to businesses with over 50 employees.
Which we're going to talk about in a minute. We're going to get John and I are going to go best two falls out of three about Obamacare in the next segment. You don't want to miss this, folks. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Chicago to take us out. Right back with John Fox.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.